Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Z Live Off the Record with Shivago Lang is sponsored by the Cleveland Clinic, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, the Jeff Rogers Basketball Camp, RF Bank and Trust, Royal Star Assurance, and Scotiabank.
I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon, the Monday after Father's Day. I trust all the fathers had a great Father's Day in as much as you can. Not too many jokes about crab, even though I know plenty crab and rice or crab and something. Got done on that day. But I trust you had a great time yesterday. I know I did. I actually spent it in Halifax, Canada with two of my sons, actually. And I did have a good time at it. I have to say it's good to enjoy their company. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to give us a call on any of the following numbers. You can call us on 323-6232, that's 323-6232, or 325-4316, 325-4316. You can text us on 422-4796, that's 422-4796, so you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. Life is interesting, you know. Really interesting. Because I don't remember what prompted this in me, but the other day I thought I wanted to revisit the 2021 general election, the results of it, to kind of dive again 9 months or so later into this issue, you know, because really, if you look at it, the question for many was, did the FNM call the election too early? Oh, and should they have waited, you know, till the election was basically due, which would have been sometime in May of this year. So rather than go in September, go in May, which would have been about 8 months later, would that have made a difference? Okay, so would it have made a difference? Anyway, apparently there is a report now circulating about what seems to be a postmortem conducted by the team of foreign consultants and advisors to the then Minister campaign regarding the results of the election that had gone by. This is a foreign group. My understanding is that they are of the Republican persuasion, and they were advising the Minister administration or the Minister campaign about what to do, and that they in fact were amongst them who advised the minister to go earlier, which of course he did. So there is some controversy around this this report, by the way, some controversy to the extent within the internals of the FNM, to the extent that this is the actual report that's circulating or some sanitized version of the report, right? You would have seen reporting on this report in the Nassau Guardian as well. I don't know whether this is a sanitized version of the report. I can tell you that my sources tell me this is a sanitized version of the report, and those are pretty reliable sources. but I don't know. I can't know 100%. I'm not there. So the report asks some key questions, and I'll tell you what the report says as answers first, and then I want to talk about some of the answers of the report. So the question, was this a wave election? These consultants say, no, it was not. They say the numbers in this case just don't lie. They say this was a base election. Listen to these claims now. They say voter turnout tanked by 39,000 votes. Essentially, the swing voters didn't show up. That's what they say. The swing voters didn't show up, dot, 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 at all. This is what they say. Overall, nearly 80,000 Bahamian voters stayed at home. And they ask the question, should we have known and prepared better for this? They say, absolutely, you should have known and prepared better for a low voter turnout. Should the turnout operation have been more focused on pure FNM voting? Most likely, they say. Okay, so that's the first question. The second question was, did the election timing kill us? They ain't even trying to be cute with the question. The answer is probably. Now, if these are the same people who advised on the early election, they are also saying postmortem that early timing of the election probably killed the FNM. Says, but given the options, it's hard to see in hindsight that there was any better chance at any other time. The fact of the matter is that calling an election in the middle of a worldwide pandemic with a very deeply connected outlook on the horizon would lead most observers to conclude that the prime minister had to make the best call he could from both a leadership and political standpoint. That's their point. It is strongly possible that from a purely political standpoint, given the economic signs then and now, that waiting to call the election may have led to further and deeper losses. Okay. And they only got, 6 seats in the House Assembly? This text says, polling wrong. Answer, yes. But for a very specific reason, it says. Says the Bahamas very well may be in the middle of a major voter behavioral shift. Time will tell. As stated above, this election resulted in a stunning and historic voter turnout shift downward. Okay. This text says, does the FNM party need to revamp operations? Yes, says these people. More than any other single issue, the lack of clear organization at the constituency and overall grassroots level caused us to lose at least 3 and possibly as many as 6 seats. Wow. That's a specific observation. We would argue that one of the key metrics for party going forward needs to be a myopic focus on constituency operations and base turnout. All right? So, Prime Minister be blamed for this loss. Oh, I know how many people are interested in this question and how many people are pointed to that as the answer. This is their answer. I read directly from them. Rightly, or wrongly, leaders take responsibility when their party loses? That doesn't answer the question. Is it fair in this case? They say entirely. Have a front row seat to this. It's clear the prime minister was dealt a tough hand, one that at every turn required him to try to lead a country during extraordinary challenges while also trying to defy over two decades of historic in getting reelected. History, decades of history in getting reelected. Could key choices have been made faster? Yes. Could more decisive political action have been made? Operations and communications flow more easily? Yes. But these would have come at a cost to public service side that could have been equally as problematic. The facts in the light of day show that the prime minister's numbers with the swing voters that history had shown would decide this race were very good. His numbers versus Davis with those voters were exceptional. And if they would have turned out, it would be a different story. Wow. Okay. The report says more things, but you know, they went on to some other operational things. But so let's look at it. Now, from their point of view, what cost the FNM more than anything else was the voter turnout, on the ground operations and the like, right? According to them. But the FNM conclave drew a different conclusion. From the FNM conclave's perspective, what caused the party was this: failure to move with urgency, the administration's concentration of power in the hands of a competent authority, its lack of inclusive collaboration and decision-making with party members, the manner it interacted with stakeholders, particularly its combative relationship with the media, the failure to talk with rank and file party members, and the failure to address public service matters, among other things. So the conclave has one view of what caused the FNM its election. And these consultants who say they were close to the situation have a different set of views. And that's rather challenging for a party when you are trying to understand what in fact happened. Because it's important to understand what in fact happened. It's very important. Now, let me say this. The party conclave, these consultants, none of them can authoritatively speak to what happened if they are not basing their assessment on voter feedback. So let's be clear on that. They might be right, either group, but they are at best giving an opinion on the situation, just as I gave my opinion on the situation some months ago, right? I have some views on what happened, but they are only my views, because the real information is in the minds of the voters. The people who voted know why they voted, why they voted the way they voted. The people who didn't vote know why they didn't vote. So unless you tap into their brains by way of a survey, scientific survey, questionnaire, or focus group, or something of that nature, you are essentially only opining on what happened. And looking at the report, I didn't gather that, in fact, any extensive amount of such polling was done. And even where it was done, I have information that questions whether what is in this report is reflective of what the polling data actually revealed. So we're still in the blind. So for instance, to know whether Dr. Minnis was to blame, you can only know that asking voters. Okay? You only could know that by asking the voters. To know, like they make in the report a definitive statement that swing voters didn't show up at all. How do you know that? How do you know that none of the people who voted were swing voters? How do you know that? I mean, did you ask? Did you do a exit survey sufficient enough to say, are you a swing voter? Meaning, did you vote one way last time and the next way the next time and so forth? If you did an exit survey, the exit survey wouldn't help you, because an exit survey would mean that the voter who voted. So, but you said the swing voter didn't turn out at all. So according to you, voters voting would not have been able to say, I'm a swing voter, because according to you, they didn't show up. But if you didn't go and survey the ones who didn't show up, how do you know that they were all swing voters, or that none of the voters who voted were swing voters? You don't know. But they make a definitive statement on that. Definitive. Right? They say it wasn't a wave election, right? Well, I beg to differ to this extent. It wasn't a wave election to the extent that voters in mass showed up and voted a certain way, but it was wave to the extent that the discontent, whatever the reason, led to masses of voters not showing up. That's a wave. It's historic. You had a wave of determination on the part of Bahamian voters, unlike they have ever done in their history, not to show up. So there was a wave. The wave was in the direction of, I ain't voting for none of them. None of them. So they say it's a base election. How do you know? How do you know? From what I could tell, the bases of both parties seem to have had levels of discontentment. I mean, the Davis administration won this election by 7,000 votes. 7,000 votes, notwithstanding the significant difference between the number of seats received, the margin, popular margin, was 7,000 votes. That could only happen with a mask of discontentment on both party side, both. So base? Yeah, base to the extent that more likely than not, the bases of each party did show up. But those bases too, you know, didn't show up. And how do you know that a fair number of people who voted in the direction of the Progressive Liberal Party weren't in fact swing voters? Don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't have information along those lines. So the report, I must say, seems to provide a bit of a pass for the extent to which Dr. Minnis reflected and embodied the discontent of voters. To suggest that Dr. Minnis was in they make the argument that he just has to accept responsibility because he was the leader. No, people were disgusted with him, right? They talk about the fact that The media, the interaction with the media, you know, well, they didn't say that actually. They just talk about the fact that operational issues have existed and that kind of stuff. But we listen, I live in Bahamas. I can't say this scientifically, but I live in Bahamas. I know what people have said and were saying about their discontent with the former administration. And they tied it in big measure to Dr. Menezes' leadership. Right? To ignore that for the FNM would be a huge mistake. Not because it means focusing on Dr. Menezes, not because of that. It means recognizing how important the behavior and conduct of a leader is to the electoral prospects of a political party. You know, I was invited by the Free National Movement to speak to its candidates, and I gave a talk about re-election. I wasn't given advice about how to be reelected. I wasn't given advice about whether they should be reelected. That was not my point at all. I was talking to them about the fact that we know that if a party's leadership is unpopular, incumbency is very much at risk. We know that if the party is unpopular, incumbency is at risk. Those were my words. So people had to measure whether their party leader or the party was popular. And if they weren't, they had to know that their prospects for re-election was slim and dim. Well, you see how that turned out, right? We're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Z-Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Around the world, Cleveland Clinic is recognized as a leader in healthcare. Our team of experts relentlessly pursues the best for our patients. From groundbreaking cancer research to state-of-the-art heart surgery, life-saving innovations happen here every day. When it's time to travel for your health, it's time to travel to Cleveland Clinic, your destination for care, for every care in the world. To learn more, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Switch for better when you move your mortgage to Scotiabank.
Leave behind that old mortgage plan and open the door to a low interest rate. No payments for up to 2 months and cash back of 2.5% of the mortgage amount up to $10,000. And guess what? It gets better. Apply for your Scotiabank credit card and enjoy a low 9.99% introductory rate for the first 6 months. Switch for better and upgrade your mortgage today with Scotiabank. Offer ends June 30th, 2022.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises residents of Pinecrest Drive, South Beach East, that the corporation will commence improvement work on Tuesday, May 31st, 2022, for a duration of 5 weeks, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. daily. During this period, there may be some interruption in the water supply, road closure, and detours around the work area. Motorists are advised to avoid the area where possible. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience caused and appreciates your support as they work to improve level of service.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon, where we've been talking about this report, speaking to whether or not Dr. Hubert Minnis was responsible for the F&M loss, but in fact, more broadly, what was responsible for the F&M's loss. If you want to call us and contribute, you can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. Or you can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I have a text, interesting text here, that says, Shivago, I am an F&M supporter, not a swing voter. And I specifically chose not to vote at all because of Hubert Minnis. I was not the only one. Not only were you not the only one, I literally spoke to people who were working on the F&M's campaign who had hesitation about voting largely on the basis of their disgruntlement with Dr. Minnis. And so I happen to know there are I don't know how many people there were, so I'm not saying I have a scientific assessment of the same. This text says, Minnis alone is responsible for the loss. They need to stop blaming people and making excuses. But I can't, I don't believe Dr. Minnis alone was responsible. I don't believe that. I mean, he alone as leader has to take responsibility, but was he the only one? No, listen, man. There were cabinet ministers, members of parliament who behaved and acted in ways that certainly turned people off. Okay, so Dr. Minnis can't have been responsible for that. Dr. Minnis won his seat. Okay, so there were people actually in his constituency who had confidence in him to vote for him. So you know, they'll like you can't dismiss some of the foibles and the like that gave the T in government a bad name, right? So a number of things did it, but in the end, a great number of the issues people had were embodied in Dr. Minnis, the way he dealt with the media. I mean, that's a big deal. See, the media can make or break you in politics because by reporting on you, they can color your perception. Remember, popularity is the currency of politics. And media can make you appear popular or unpopular. Not that they are distorting the facts, but if they are reporting on you, on things you do, like the way you talk to them, the way you address an issue, that can be bad news for you. Whereas if you speak to them in a different way and address the issue in a different way, you can get a different perception on the part of the media and the voting population, right? The extent to which things were done unforced. This wasn't like Mr. Davis as opposition leader was forcing the F&M to do some things. Like, for instance, let me give you an example. The F&M came to office decrying the spy bill That's what they called it, a spy bill. They castigated the PLP for the spy bill. The FNM's first bill passed in Parliament, I believe, was the spy bill. The FNM castigated Mr. Christie for VAT, referred to it as a lazy way of raising revenue. The FNM raised VAT. The FNM came to office, and almost immediately the Prime Minister said he was putting the Parliament on notice that he was going to raise salaries of parliamentarians. Now, as necessary as that may be, in the midst of the economic challenges and woes of the country, which you pointed out when you were in opposition, why would you go in that manner, such a flippant manner, and put the Parliament on notice about that to the chagrin of the voting population? The FNM had things they had as priority on their listing. Ensuring that the Prime Minister couldn't run for more than two terms, appointing an ombudsman, Freedom of Information Act, and these kinds of, these were low-hanging fruit that to this day were not addressed in the Parliament of the Bahamas. Those were on Dr. Minnis as leader of the party and embodied a great deal of the discontent people had about the party. And it seems a conclave picked up on some of this. This text says he called the election before time. He told people don't listen to Brave when Brave said to go register. And he told the people he knew the date of the election, so don't listen to Brave. People didn't have time to register or transfer because Minnis said election wasn't until May 2022. Minnis lost the election, him and him alone. That is a great point. That's a great point because that's true. Because he played cute around the issue of the election. In fact, I listened to Prime Minister then, Minnis, say things coyly about the election as if it wasn't really going to happen and not happen. When I in fact knew, because of some discussions, that they were looking at August. I knew it. And I said, wow, you know, why would you? And so, yes, maybe some people got caught off guard because they were of the view this thing wasn't coming early. Yeah. Okay. We don't know how many people sat home because of the pandemic. We don't know how many people sat home because they thought the election wasn't going to come. So we don't know. And that's why I'm saying all of this becomes mere speculation if you haven't really surveyed the voters. We're going to take a break, ladies, and pay our respects to our sponsors. Ladies and gentlemen, we pay our respects to our sponsors. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand, everybody.
The Water Sewage Corporation advises residents of Pinecrest Drive, South Beach East, that the corporation will commence improvement work on Tuesday, May 31st, 2022, for a duration of 5 weeks, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. daily. During this period, there may be some interruption in the water supply, road closure, and detours around the work area. Motorists are advised to avoid the area where possible. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience caused and appreciates your support as they work to improve their level of service.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 37764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Switch for better when you move your mortgage to Scotiabank.
Leave behind that old mortgage plan and open the door to a low interest rate. No payments for up to 2 months and cash back of 2.5% of the mortgage amount up to US $10,000. And guess what? It gets better. Apply for your Scotiabank credit card and enjoy a low 9.99% introductory rate for the first 6 months. Switch for better and upgrade your mortgage today with Scotiabank. Offer ends June 30th, 2022.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon, where we're talking about this report that addresses, the report was done by a group, a foreign, an American group with a Republican leaning that was seeking to provide some information about what caused the FNM to lose, and it's circulating now. It seems to give the former prime minister a bit of a pass insofar as being responsible for the election results. Now, I certainly do not believe that Dr. Minnis was entirely responsible, but I do believe that a great deal of what happened fell on him. I mean, directly on him. Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. I want you to name some of the things that Mr. Minnis was not directly responsible for as prime minister and competent authority that caused the FNM to lose. That's a great question, and let me give you an answer to some of those things. Some of the members of parliament in the Free National Movement had terrible relations with their constituents, okay? For whatever reason, their constituents felt like they just changed. Okay? Let me give you an example of that. I just had a texter who spoke to this very same thing. This texter says, "Good afternoon, Mr. Lang. I am an FM supporter. Many of us were made ashamed of the caliber of our representatives, what they became when they were given power. This needs to be addressed in our party, this understanding of service above self for our politicians. As for Minnis winning his seat, I voted for him knowing we would lose so that he could be in parliament to face the consequences of his actions." Wow. Wow. So yes, there are members of parliament whose representation sucked. And that was a part of the contribution. Some of those seats were lost, not because the party itself was the unpopular. Some of those seats were lost because the members of parliament were significantly unpopular. Don't forget now, Michael Pintard won his seat handsomely. Mind you, he lost support from the prior election. There's no question about that. He lost support. Like, he had won, he won his first election by a spread of maybe 1,700 or thereabouts. He won the next one by 1,000, but from what I saw, he lost some vote. But that notwithstanding, he a strong showing. So did Adrian Gibson. So did Shannon Dawn Cartwright. So they were able to gain great, to achieve a significant victory, notwithstanding that there was this massive discontent. Other members of parliament didn't have that kind of showing, and it was related in part to them. Okay? Now, it isn't unusual for members of parliament to get knocked over because of their close affiliation with the administration. So if the administration is unpopular, they get to be unpopular. Like, I'll give you an example, right? When I was a member of parliament, honestly, like, I wasn't somebody that voters would fawn over. I just didn't have that kind of personality. I'm not a really warm person like that. I'm not somebody who people will feel like is so down to earth like that and what have you. So sometimes I got the roof, but also I was very closely tied to the Ingram administration. So the extent to which the administration was unpopular, I was going to suffer some of that as well. And so that can cause you. There are people who, members of parliament and candidates, who are more charming, you know, warmer. They come across better. They're more likable than some of us can tend to be. And so those strengths can make up for some of the challenges. Like Michael Pintar is a very charming guy, right? He relates very well to people. He's a great networker. He works hard. I mean, like what the effort Michael would put on the ground in a constituency, man, you would be hard pressed to find that in a lot of members of parliament over the decades in this country. Shannon Dawn Cartwright was the same way. My understanding is Adrian Gibson was the same way. That helps you. And it helps you to, you know, more in the instance of Shannon Dawn and Michael than Adrian, but if people saw him working for him in Long Island, and Long Islanders will reward you for working for them. So some of that was part of the challenge that the party had, was that some of their folk was just not likable. Okay, let's be real. And sometimes that's not because they're mean or disgusting. It's because their personality type doesn't make them that warm. Some of us, our personalities don't tolerate nonsense. And so rather than back off, or rather than, you know, than pander, we may lash out. That ain't gonna help you in politics, because voters are very sensitive. Voters want to like you, and they want you to treat them like they are really, really special. And so while some personalities don't like that and can't really do that effectively, others do it effectively. And so that caused the party some votes. Another thing that, well, Minnis was responsible for. Like, you can't take and cast him away, man. That don't help you get support. And he did that. And so did some of his supporters. They took significant former personalities and they just threw them to the side. Didn't even invite their ability to influence and support and to generate support for them. I happen to know in some circumstances where people were saying, oh, that's Ingram or Shivago people. That's not our people. What? What kind of stupidness that could be? Ingram and Shivago were FNM candidates, leadership, etc. If people love or support them, then people will follow and support them as they follow and support the FNM. You can't be doing that kind of nonsense. You can't be doing that kind of nonsense. And some of the cabinet ministers and others took on that personality. And it was to the detriment of the party, because they spread that word, and that word caused division that may have caused some people not to show up. Anyway, we have a discussion, ladies and gentlemen, after we come back from the news break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Debt?
Too busy. Look at today. Work out.
You. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
Babe, you mashed the car?
I mashed the car. The lady run into me mashed the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang! She was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Imagine driving your dream car, doing all the things you never thought you could, like perfecting your parallel parking skills, or picking up your date. Everyone loves to dream. Stop dreaming. Start driving with a brand new offer from Scotiabank. With an auto loan from Scotiabank, benefit from no payments for up to 2 months, a low interest rate up to 9 years to repay, and free insurance for the first year up to 2.5% of the loan amount. Promotion ends June 30th, 2022. Stop dreaming and start driving today with an auto loan from Scotiabank.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call, 67764 in Nassau, or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations, or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
That's right, boys and girls. Get ready to play basketball at the 34th Annual Jeff Rogers Basketball Camp, July 4th through July 29th at the Kendall GL Isaacs Gym, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. daily. So parents, get your boys and girls ages 5 through 18 registered now. Applications available at the South Bahamas Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, Tonic Williams Darling Highway, and at the registration desk at Campside Kendall GL Isaacs Gym. NBA players, legends, and coaches. So get your boys and girls registered now, ages 5 through 18, for the 34th Annual Jeff Rogers Basketball Camp, July 4th through July 29th.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Monday afternoon, where we have been for some time now talking about the report circulating about what caused the FNM to lose. This is a report by a foreign group that was a consulting group to the Minnis campaign. And and they have essentially some things to say about that loss that didn't quite put it at the feet of Dr. Minnis, unlike many people would like to believe. I have a text here. If you want to give us a call, you can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316. Or you can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I have a text here, say what? Say, only me see you as charming, warm, and fuzzy. Now, they were new words people would describe me as, man. And I don't have no problems. Let me tell you something, guys. Yesterday, me and my sons were on YouTube doing a personality test they have on YouTube. My youngest, who's 13, he was, as the personality test was revealing the results, he was there like, wow, man, this test, because the test seemed to be so accurate, a description of his personality. And I just think that this is what you should do, right? You should, personality traits are not good or bad. They are strengths or weaknesses. So knowing what they are is helpful to you because you know where you're strong and you know where you're weak. And so you try to maximize your strengths and minimize your weaknesses. But all of us have weaknesses in our personalities. And in some professions, some strengths work better than others. And then in other professions, some weaknesses work better than others, right? And so I don't get upset that I'm not the warm, fuzzy type. I'm not, right? Don't get me wrong, boy. I have people who support me. I have people who love me. I have people who really root for me and rooted for me in politics, but that's not everybody. And that's what I'm good with that. I'm good with that. People have a right to like you or don't like you because of how you are not for them, right? This text says, great show. As usual, Mr. Lang, this almost a year later, and they still trying to figure out why they lose. This reminds me about a man, beat his wife, cheat on her, get caught and asking himself why he get divorced same time. Same thing, I think. They need to be just rebuild because you did a bunch of stupidness and do the people bad, and that's why you stop being delusional. But you need to know specifically what you did, right? I mean, you need to know specifically. So it's good to make that effort, all right? So we have a number of texts here. Oh, my goodness. Let me go. So this says, the Bahamian people were not going to return the FNM administration to parliament in 2021 because the council of the FNM did not care about their supporters. They ignored the generals and freedom fighters of their party. Okay, there you go. So that's one thing that you might put squarely on Dr. Minnis, but he would take responsibility because he was the leader. The way party insiders felt treated by their upper echelon of leadership. This text says, Dr. Minnis lost the election because he fooled himself by thinking a snap election was best, but it worked to the FNM party disadvantage, okay? This one says, the constituents were not satisfied with many things. The electorate was disappointed. That was one of the reasons why the FNM lost. Well, you know, you got to think that people are always disappointed if they're going to vote against you or not vote at all, right? So disappointment is like manifest if people don't vote for you. This text says, Mr. Lang, if the pandemic did not happen, the FNM would have won. The economy was on the roll. Mr. Diaz, together, his act together, pre-2019 was great. Mr. Minnis was riding that gravy train. Minnis shut everyone out, and he paid the price. Well, okay, that's an opinion. That's a view that if the pandemic hadn't happened, things would have probably been better. And that's certainly an argument that could be made, you know. But sometimes these crises, when you respond effectively to them, they actually make you too, you know. But again, we'll be guessing. We don't know, you know, because the pandemic did happen. So we can't unpandemic the thing and see what would have happened. We just know where we are and where we were. This text says, what is interesting is that report states that Hubert Minnis if he had waited any longer to call the election, he probably would have lost even more seats. Well, let me tell you something. I was asked about this before election, whether going early was better for Dr. Minnis than not. And I verily believed that going later would have been worse for him. Because here's what you have to ask yourself. If Dr. Minnis was unpopular, was he going to be more popular in October, November, December, January, February, March, April, May? Like, what about his personality, the way he governed, would have made you think he would have been a different person? after almost 4 years, right? So was that going to change? Was the economy going to get better? Yes. In 8 months' time, yes, the economy was going to get better. But was it going to get better to produce a mass of enthusiasm amongst people who felt disadvantaged by the downturn in the economy, the shutdowns, the lockdowns, and all that kind of stuff? I don't think so, because today, notwithstanding things are better, people are still suffering some significant masses of people. So would it have been better enough to make a difference? No. So what else was going to change? The FNM's policy on the pandemic was more rigid than the PLP. So was that going to change? Was it going to get more loosened than we've seen on the PLP? Not according to the rhetoric, which we now hear. So that wasn't going to change. So what was going to fundamentally change that would have made the Minister administration better off in May than in September? You just can't find the evidence. You just can't find what may have been different. And I don't think the economy sells it like that. I don't think so. Right? This text says, Shivago, I believe that duplicity was most detrimental to the PM seeking re-election. It's not the fact that he made promises and didn't fulfill them, but rather did the opposite. Freedom of info promise, freedom of info block, transparency, and no willingness to answer questions from the media. Consultative style promise, but instead a dictatorship style. Fixed election day promise, but in reality a snap election. That's a pretty strong statement. There's no question about that. That's a pretty strong one. This text says, we call on government to build a new hospital for the people, make all the services and surgery free to Bahamians. Well, we need low-cost houses at $50,000 for Bahamians to buy. Okay. And we call that all beaches in the Bahamas be open and accessible to all in a so-called democracy. I wish you well with those requests, my friend. Wish you well. It certainly would be a gift. I wish you well. Since Mr. Lang, I hate to believe he could lose any worse than he did. Yes, he could. Because if you get 6 seats, you could get one. If you get 6 seats, you could get none. You always could lose more. Oh, boy. Say nothing. All right. Anyways, again, we are all speculating about what in fact actually happened. I think we have some ideas. I mean, some ideas, but as to what the actual thing is, well, that's going to be speculation for the most part, for now. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hello.
Hello. Go ahead, caller.
Okay, I live in the Bahamas.
Okay, hold on, my friend. Your quality is very bad, and your voice is really low.
Okay, what I try to say would make us lose election 2021 is two bigger things. One of them, when he didn't care for people, and the second one, when he said Mr. Ingram era is over. That killed the menace. Thank you.
Okay, my friend. Thank you very much. So he was saying that Dr. Menace didn't care about people. Now, how do you know that? How can you know that? Like, I mean, honestly, like, you can't know a person's heart. So I can't know whether he cares about people or not. I can know what his actions did. And, well, they spent millions and millions of dollars trying to feed dislocated people, providing employment opportunities for people and so forth. So you can only know what people's actions are. This thing of judging people's heart, that's not our business, man. That's not our place. We don't know. Now, secondly, he said that Dr. Menace said that the Ingram era was over. I think that started a great deal of challenges for him too, in terms of large numbers of people who respect and followed Mr. Ingram. So that did not endear him to large numbers of people, and it didn't get any better from there. This text says, Mr. Lang, that group who provided the campaign, now they are trying to give Minister a pass. Their report is biased. Okay. This text says, in this country, my friend, everything rises and falls on leadership as the single competent authority. Dr. Menace caused the FNM big time. Everything else you speak about is regular run-of-the-mill politics. Okay? is Texas. The pandemic and the hurricane was all out of the control of Dr. Minnis. However, the catastrophic events were a test to his ability to lead effectively and demonstrate his skills as proven leader. That is true. In Texas, the FNM's fate was like changing floors on the Titan. Wow, that's something. That is something. That is something. Why is my... Really? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, it's interesting. Anyway, we're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Phone.
What you mean? He take picture of what?
Shh, you don't want Bella hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
I used to think of the personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem, just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
When you move your mortgage to Scotiabank,
leave behind that old mortgage plan and open the door to a low interest rate. No payments for up to 2 months and cash back of 2.5% of the mortgage amount up to $10,000. And guess what? It gets better. Apply for your Scotiabank credit card and enjoy a low 9.99% introductory rate for the first 6 months. Switch for better and upgrade your mortgage today with Scotiabank. Offer ends June 30th, 2022.
Around the world, Cleveland Clinic is recognized as a leader in healthcare. Our team of experts relentlessly pursues the best for our patients. From groundbreaking cancer research to state-of-the-art heart surgery, life-saving innovations happen here every day. When it's time to travel for your health, it's time to travel to Cleveland Clinic, your destination for care. for every care in the world. To learn more, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon, where we have been talking for the most part about this report having to do with the F&M's loss. We have some callers on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, sir. Good evening.
Hi. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yeah, you know, I believe that what Minnis problem was that he listened to the rhetoric in the media, you know, and he was quite he governed by centers of the media in many ways. Well, they, you know, well, at every turn they changed this, like when the public complained about particular things and about COVID, he changed, you know what I'm saying? He pondered them. You know,
I see and
like, remember when the rhetoric started about him needing to call an early election for a new mandate, mm-hmm. you know, just to get a new mandate, he ran with that. He took that bait, you know, mm-hmm. and then the what you call it, the greatest problem Minister is he's not a public speaker. He cannot handle mm-hmm. the media, and he was a bad choice of a prime minister just because of it. He was a poor choice because he couldn't speak to the people, you see? You know, and then simple things he didn't do, you know, promises he didn't fulfill like this one term thing, you know? And mm-hmm. Just to name a few. So he had issues, and you know, and I agree that the media, the social media played a great part, you know, and people like Fred Mitchell. And Fred Mitchell did it on a dress every day and still is doing F&M never. Equal that. Thank you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you calling. We have another call on the line? No? Okay. So this text says, either he didn't listen to sound advice, or if he had advisors, they did him a disservice, in my opinion, judging by his statements and actions displayed publicly. He operated as if he alone could fix everything and was an island unto himself. The team helped him to win the general election. He then began to cut them and distance them one by one publicly. Team makes the dream work together. Everyone achieves more, okay? This text says, Lang, I know my cousin's heart. He said, make him PM again and he will look out for the poor. You tell me. Yeah, it's something else now. All righty. This text says, could you remind us again which primary school students wrote that F&M election? Today was primary school students. This text says, I don't understand a caller's comment that Minnis didn't treat his supporters right. I don't understand what is that caller saying. Supporters should get favors over and beyond regular or all citizens. The person didn't say his constituents. They didn't say that. The caller was saying he didn't treat the people. He didn't care about the people. He didn't say constituents. Dr. Minnis ignored the party leaders, scorned the former leaders, and he became very rude and arrogant. Wow. Yeah. Well, you know, leadership is tough, man. It's tough. And, you know, people are fickle. And, you know, it's like courting a woman, right? What you use to get them, you got to use to keep them. So if you treat them like they are the center of the galaxy to get them, what do you think is going to happen to keep them? Right? If you are fake one way with them, Then you got to do that to keep them. It's hard to keep them anyhow, but it's worse in terms of trying to keep them when you appear to have changed on them. And that could be real or unreal. All that matters is what they perceive. Sometimes you lose, not because you lose because people just, they just decide, boom, shakalaka, I done. And that could happen too, life. All right. Anyway, I want to switch up a little bit here. Because this story about these folks that Minister Wayne Monroe and those found in the bushes are occupying as home, and their effort now to have them removed, in particular, the lady who's actually living in a bus. She said something incredible. Now, if you're the government, you could do one or two things in the face of what she says. Okay, even you, the public. She says, I do not believe that I would be better off in the hands of social services than I would be living where I'm living right now in a bus with my kids, having made whatever provisions I can make to make this livable for us. That is stunning. Listen to me again. Let me tell you what she said, right? I do not believe I would be better off in the hands of social services. Not the people at social services shouldn't take this personally, because they do with what they are provided. They do with what policies they are given. This is on the government. So what she was saying was, I do not believe that I would be better off with the government than I am out here living as I am living. That is stunning. Now, let me tell you why it's stunning. This isn't on Brave Davis. This isn't on Cuban Minnis. This isn't on Perry Christie. And on Lyndon Pinnock. This is on every administration since Cuban Minnis. I mean, since Sir Lyndon Pinnock. I mean, including Sir Lyndon Pinnock. Why? Because the truth of the matter is, our social safety net is not adequate to support a woman in a circumstance like she finds herself. Now, for whatever reason she's there, I don't know, I'm not judging. And I'm not suggesting she couldn't have had family members who could take her in, or the church couldn't have taken her in. Let me tell you what is true. And this is what this woman is saying. If you find yourself in need of social services, all of their assistance, for the most part, is temporary. So if you have a housing need, they can provide you with emergency assistance in the course of a year, maybe for 3 months. So if you remain unemployed without income, if you are put up by social services for 3 months, what do you do after the 3 months? Now, a landlord, see, she's not now in a rental. What landlord receiving a check from social services for 3 months, knowing the circumstances in which you are coming to them, is going to want you in their apartment for more than 3 months? So she's recognizing that at least in the circumstance she's in, over the medium term, she is housed, will not be evicted. She has a roof over her head and the means to take care of. This woman was working, my understanding is, right? So she's sizing up the extent of social services assistance and saying, insofar as my stable housing provision is concerned, I'm better off this way. What does that beg from us? It doesn't beg us to criticize the government. It doesn't beg us to get all sanctified and religious and what have you on us. What it begs is, how do we do better where legitimate such circumstances exist? How can we do that? Because we know she could be better off, right? We know that notwithstanding she thinks she's better off in that house, that bus situation, that's not the best thing for her and her children. We know that. Okay, that's not safe. The safest is not the best circumstance for those children. We know that. In a legitimate circumstance, where somebody is there because circumstances have caused her to arrive at that place. If she's working, she's demonstrated to do the necessary to help herself. What can be done? That's a public policy question. That's straight out a public policy question. And I'm sorry, the minister rightly said, we can't just ask her to leave. We have to see what social services could do. But the minister also needs to listen to her and hear her when she says, I know I won't be better off. Because trust me, someone like her probably has already ran the social services route, okay? And knows what in the end she's up against. And I can tell you, listen to me, folks, a lot of folks are calling on social services now, a lot of folks. There are folks calling on social services who didn't think they would ever be calling on social services. Right? So the question is, what do we do to bolster social services' ability to be more helpful to people over time and to do so in a manner that brings people into dignity? Okay? So, money, folk? Can you house somebody for a year, 2 years, if this needs be? Can you provide somebody with utility support for a year, 2 years, if needs be? Can you provide somebody with food support for a year, 2 years, if needs be? Child care, because they have to work and the children need to be covered for 2 years and so, me if needs be? These are the foundational questions of our social safety net from a public policy point of view. They are the realities, okay, that confront us. And how large a problem is it? I don't know. We don't know. But are we prepared to address it in a meaningful way? Not, listen, I mean, with the greatest respect to us, if your economy is not generating jobs, especially for people at a lower skill level, that allows them to have the income that they need, and if your cost of living is stripping even the people who work at that low income level out of the means to survive, you have a serious public policy issue. The Prime Minister of our country and the Minister of Finance said in his budget debate that the cost of living in the Bahamas is at crisis level. That's what the Prime Minister says. If that is true, your public policy measures have to step up to address the thing. So let me say to the Prime Minister, to the Minister of National Security and all the government, today, that woman has sent a public policy response to those who are in need. It's a challenge. It's a challenge. Don't look at her as just a single person. Look at her as reflective of a problem faced by a number of people and begging the question, what does the social safety net of the Bahamas have to do to adequately address the needs of such persons? It's a beautiful question. We can learn from, we can grow from, we can improve from, we can reform from. It would be a mistake just to set this aside because it goes out of the media. That woman is a great, great case study in how to take on a serious practical problem in your society. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi, go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hello? All right. Say, gone. Sorry, if you want to call back, you can try and call back. So I think, like, it's, and you know her attitude? This woman is not complaining. This woman, not from what I heard, she doesn't look like she's, like distressed. This woman looks like she's found herself in a lemon situation and she made some lemonade the best way she could. I mean, this woman says, listen, they ask her, are you comfortable? She says, I'm comfortable. You know, it gets hot here at times, but, you know, heat is heat. I mean, really now, you could not walk away from the dialogue that I saw with her and think, here's a louse, not doing what she needs to do and so forth and so forth. I think that if we are sensible, we can make, looking at that situation. I had a person say, they're not gonna move. I think it was actually Lincoln being on Juan McCartney's show, saying that, you know, it is probably true that given the tolerance and patience the government has shown in respect of shanty towns, that they have to demonstrate a significant tolerance and patience with these people there. There's no question about that, right? But I would hate for us to have this become a us against them scenario. Because the truth of the matter is Haitians, non-Haitians in distress, a compassionate society becomes a better society by responding appropriately to same. Okay, so that's the reality, right? And then everyone who endorses the biblical, theological, Judeo-Christian perspective on life, or maybe even the Buddhist or Muslim, they all know that compassion is a foundational trait of decent people, right? So, and that compassion belongs to the stranger and to your own, okay? So I would hate us to make it that. What we do know is Bahamians in distress need adequate help. And that woman said something that should wake us all the hell up. She said, listen, I would be better off in the circumstance I'm in than in the hands of social services. I think social services should be happy for her statement. Social services should be, because it may be the hour in which they get even more support to do the kinds of things that they want. And it is not just money support, it's reforming how we actually give the support that may be important, right? Maybe we have to look at over time for some people in some circumstances. This text says, the public was tired of the competent authority figure and leadership of Dr. Minutes. The F&M Council should have stood up to Dr. Minutes. The cabinet just stood by and allowed Dr. Minutes to go do whatever he wanted. I believe the F&M might have won more seats if election was called later, but probably might have still lost because of the swing voters. Okay, thank you much. We're going to take our final break, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to ZLive. I'm Shabab Alain, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same
Frank, what you doing?
Looking at some new insurance options, Uncle Joe.
Insurance? You should have asked me. I've got a guy on Collins Avenue who does my motor insurance. My home policy is through a lady I work with. Now, Johnny from the gym, he's going to hook me up with medical and life. Now, for pensions, I'd like to spread that one around a little.
Or I could call CG Atlantic. They do all of that.
With all the insurance and pensions cover you need in one place, we're like an uncle that doesn't give you bad advice. CG Atlantic. Good like that.
Father's Day is not just about celebrating dads. It's about celebrating all that our dads are. Our protectors, our husbands, and our oldest friend. This Father's Day, don't forget to tell him, I'm so glad you're mine, with a gift from Bonneville Bones.
Bonneville Bones, a statement in fashion, a name on the town. Find us Bay Street, Morning Marathon at Bonneville.
Switch for better when you move your mortgage to Scotiabank.
Leave behind that old mortgage plan and open the door to a low interest rate. No payments for up to 2 months and cash back of 2.5% of the mortgage amount up to US $10,000. And guess what? It gets better. Apply for your Scotiabank credit card and enjoy a low 9.99% introductory rate for the first 6 months. Switch for better and upgrade your mortgage today with Scotiabank. Offer ends June 30th, 2022.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises residents of Pinecrest Drive, South Beach East, that the corporation will commence improvement work on Tuesday, May 31st, 2022, for a duration of 5 weeks, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. daily. During this period, there may be some interruption in the water supply, road closure, and detours around the work area. Motorists are advised to avoid the area where possible. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience caused and appreciates your support as they work to improve their level of service. The Water and Sewage Corporation advises residents of Pinecrest Drive, South Beach East, that the corporation will commence improvement work on Tuesday, May 31st, 2022, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. daily. During this period, there may be some interruption in the water supply, road closure, and detours around the work area. Motorists are advised to avoid the area where possible. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience caused and appreciates your support as they work to improve their level of service.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chirago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Monday afternoon. If you want to give us a call in these remaining moments of the show, you can do so on any of the following numbers: 323-6232, that's 323-6232, or 325-4316-6, or you can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Listen, I got to read you all this, right? Listen to this text now. Say, Mr. Lang, you are a man. I am a man. As a man, we have never seen a mango-skinned woman homeless. It does not happen. It's scientifically impossible in the Bahamas. It won't happen. We would take in a mango-skinned woman with 10 children. Are we prejudiced as men? Because how come that woman homeless? Seriously, dude? Mind you, I never see a mango-skinned woman homeless. I've seen mango-skinned women like drugged out. Never seen them homeless, but I know. Oh, boy. Why is she homeless? That's a good question, right? And this is the kind of thing that I think warrants some study, and then it's actually something that I think the Government and Public Policy Institute might take a look at. You know, like what drives the homeless cases in our country that we have? Like if you go to California, like you can see masses of homeless people in Los Angeles. I mean, like you can drive down Boulevard. So these people are in tents. I mean, on the side of the street. And a taxi driver told me while I was driving in Los Angeles, he said, you know, a lot of these people, their parents are actually wealthy, with drugs or other things, and they're out here homeless and so forth and so forth, right? So there are many reasons somebody could, in fact, become homeless. But I don't know if the color of their skin is essentially the issue, but you know, that's the thought you have. But I think it's an opportunity for the government to look at how we can deal with this issue. Finally, let me say, the government has increased increased its consulting budget by millions of dollars. Millions of dollars, right? Guardian reports on it that in point of fact, compared to last budget, compared to the current budget, the consulting budget has been increased by $15.5 million, taking it from $49.6 million to $65 million. Where might this money be spent? These consulting budgets. So let me tell you how these things go, these contracts. These are ordinarily distributed within ministries under a item called I forgot the name of it exactly, but it is it's related to contractual services, right? What happens with these is if you want to bring on, say, let me say it in the most generous circumstances. You have a serious problem with the government and the public. You have expertise that you require to be able to study the situation for you and to give you guidance and advice on how to structure. So let me give an example of that. You want to reform your tax system. You want to give consideration to a value-added tax. So you engage a consultant through the IMF. Then it's engaged. This could cost you between $150,000 to $250,000 more a year, salary and compensation and all, right? Housing expenses, etc. But that's a legitimate thing. You want to know what to do about value-added tax in implementation because you've never done it before. Or your Department of Statistics is in need of upgrading its statistical operations so that the world might be able to rely on certain aspects of your data, whether that's gross domestic product. So you engage consultants through the IMF again to be able to help you get the kind of talent you want. You might do it through the IDB or something of that nature too. And so that might cost you some X amount of dollars in $300,000 in 5 years is a $1.5 million, right? So that's legitimate needs you might have. Or you might have a Bahamian expert who you want to engage for the purposes of looking at an issue for you. It might even be an accounting firm to do a forensic audit of something for you. You're going to engage them using actual services, right? You may have a serious project, infrastructural project that you are undertaking, but your Department of Public Works is overloaded so that you need to be able to rely on outside expertise to be able to monitor the project or do some work for you to monitor the project. And so you engage them. It might cost you $1 million, $1.5 million on an annual basis. That's legitimate. We saw that with Bahama, right? So those are things which you can argue with, but really there's no grounds to argue with it because they represent very real, legitimate technical requirements. Let me tell you where it gets fuzzy. So you have a general. Over the last years of the Minister administration, they had nothing to do. They have some gifts and talents. It ain't nothing of any necessarily extensively technical in nature, but they have gifts and talents. And the truth is you can put them to use. You may not need to put them to use, but you can give them an opportunity to recover, catch up from all the hardship they may have suffered because they weren't given an opportunity under another administration. So you sign them up for a 3-year contract to do something that might help the government, but the government could do without it if they wanted to do without it. It becomes a part of the patronage system. It's going to happen. Right? I mean, yeah. Text me and tell me, online, blah, 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 blah. Some of you might only get mad because you ain't in the situation and it ain't you, but if it was you and you get in the situation, you'd be happy as a lark. It's gonna happen. So the government has flexibility on all kinds of fronts to use these contractual services to do very needful, meaningful, sizable, valuable things for the government, but also some discretionary things that really represents a kind of aid and comfort to those who support it, help them to achieve the power that they got. You heard it from me. It happens. It's going to happen. It has happened under every administration, right? As Tech says, Mr. Lang, many of the people hired on contract are not needed. Many of them come to work when they want to. I know because I'm a public servant and relative. Yeah, but I mean, I'm not complaining about that. I'm not going to complain about that because, again, I mean, seriously, listen, let's be real. We live in an environment where political considerations are part of it. And you get vexed now if the F, because BLP in office, but when the FNM is office doing the same thing, you don't get vexed because you know the dude, you know the girl, the lady, who they engage. When the FNM is in office, the PLP get vexed because it ain't them. But when the PLP in office and they do it, it's okay and it's cool. I'm not getting caught up in that. I'm gonna be real, right? Real. What shouldn't happen is you shouldn't hire people who can come and just waste government money who doesn't create and generate value. I'm not gonna sit around and pretend we live in some world where everything's gonna be on the basis of, oh, just some meritocracy that we are. Because meritocracy says, let me tell you what meritocracy says, and as much as it sounds great, meritocracy says everybody gets what they deserve. You know what that means then? That means that every poor person, every person that is disadvantaged got what they deserve. That's what you're saying. It means that nothing happened to them beyond their control that made them where they are. Meritocracy says whatever you get, you deserve. If you're rich, you deserve it. If you're poor, you deserve it. And is that true? That's not true. So, you know, let's be real, all right? Say good afternoon, sir. Missed the show. Stay missed the show. I don't know what that's about. It's Texas, Mr. Lang. The lady's statement leaves much to think about. And the people voted for a new day. Now they have to sit back and wait for all the things they expect to happen. This Texas dying at the mango skin woman dance. So millions are going to be spent, you know, it's going to happen. And, you know, and that contract, that all of that money might not be spent. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, if you don't know what that money is for, you should, the opposition, when they were doing the line by line, ought to have asked. They ought to have asked for a definitive listing of the contracts anticipated by that $65.1 million. And see the number 65.1 says very specific. So they should have asked that the government outline what it is. Now, the opposition is also head of the Public Accounts Committee. So there's no reason the opposition can't carry off, even if they don't get the answer every day. What is this being spent for? Could we have an update on how it has been spent to date on what has been the achieved by? So the opposition could do that. So it isn't as if this need happen in the dark. All right, ladies and gentlemen, so glad you could join us today. You all have a great evening. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We will connect with you again tomorrow. God spares life. Have a great, great evening. Together.